following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Just to catch you up to speed, if you have not been caught up to speed, we are doing a seven-week series. We are in the seventh week. You've made it. How many of you guys have been to all 7 weeks? Raise your hand if you've been to all. Look around. Let's all give those people a round of applause. Hung in there all seven. For the rest of you, if you missed any of those 7 weeks and you want to go back, you can go to refugefamily.com. But what we've been looking at is the seven things Jesus said to his people after his death and his resurrection. We talk a lot about what he said before his death. We talk a lot about that. And then you've even heard sermon series based on the seven things Jesus said on the cross. But then Pastor Bill thought, well, it'd be cool to look at the things that he said, told his people after he rose again from the dead and before he ascended. So that's where we've been the last 7 weeks. We are in the seventh week here tonight, and you are all here to close off the series with us. Let's pray. God, I would ask that as we look at this final kind of saying of Jesus, that we would look at it and it affect our lives, Lord. It wouldn't just be something that we read or something that's cool or something that, oh, wow, that's impressionable. But, Lord, that would change our lives, that we come to your word because we believe that you can use it to change our lives. And so we ask, Lord, as Michael prayed tonight, that it would affect our lives, that through the power of your spirit and your word, we would leave here different than when we came. And so we ask that of you tonight, Lord. Empower our lives tonight. Amen. Amen. Well, I'll just admit something to you right off the bat. When it comes to cars, I know nothing. In fact, honestly, if you took me to your car or you took me to my car and you opened up the hood and you gave me a pop quiz on what things were, I would fail it every time. I know nothing about cars. I mean, I know there's a battery there. I know where that is. I know kind of where the oil change, where I check my oil. That's about it. I know nothing else. And some of you are shaking your head like, what happened to you? What happened to you? I'll just tell you the truth. If it comes to sports, we could talk all day long. I could talk about sports, any and all, just about. But when it comes to cars, I know nothing. And so when I get around guys who know cars, and they're talking about different parts, I've learned this. Oh, yep, mm-hmm. Yep, uh-huh, I know that. Jeff, do you understand what this? Yep, mm-hmm, yep, I know that. Yep. I've learned to mask it, to hide it, because I know nothing about it, but if I could just shake my head and nod yes and yep, mm-hmm, and then quickly, here's what I try to do, change the subject, right? Like, let's move off of cars, because I know nothing about the cars, but let's talk about something else that I know more about. And so maybe you've done that with something before in your life. Let me ask you this. How about math? Are there things about math that you're like, I should know this because I'm an adult and I'm American and I went to school and yet I know not about this math. How about this? History. I mean, I know there's some of you who know all about history, but there's some of us who probably should know a little bit more about history than we do. How about current political things, like things that maybe we're just like, yeah, I know who Trump is, and I know a couple other people in that race, but I don't know as much as I should. And so we quickly try to change the subject. We don't want to talk too much about it because we don't know about it. So we found mechanisms to mask that. Let me say tonight, what I want to talk about and who I want to talk about is the Holy Spirit. And I found this to be true with a lot of people in the church, that we know a lot about God the Father and we know a lot about God the Son. But when it comes to the Spirit, it's kind of like one of those things, well, we just want to kind of change the subject. I don't know too much about him. And I'm quite frankly, it's not completely surprising that that's the case, because oftentimes when we talk about the Spirit, there's two extremes, right? There's that church, you know, that church that overemphasizes the Holy Spirit, that somehow he sits on the throne and Jesus the Son and God the Father are kind of down here somewhere and the Bible kind of gets pushed aside and they do radical, crazy things. And some of us are just like uncomfortable in that context, in that setting. And so we kind of think maybe that's what the Holy Spirit is. It's this overwhelming experience and it's passionate and it's emotional. But quite frankly, it's not our experience. Well, many of our experiences with the Holy Spirit. And we kind of just think maybe that's what the Holy Spirit is. And then there's the other extreme that tries to fight against that extreme in some way. And they say, well, we don't talk too much about the Holy Spirit. You know, the Son, the Jesus, the Son, he's the one we praise and we honor and we worship, and God the Father. But when the Spirit seems to, that guy gets brought up, things get crazy and out of control. And some churches de-emphasize the Holy Spirit. He's kind of like a footnote at the bottom of the page, this little tiny footnote. Oh, and there's the Holy Spirit down there. And so there's two extremes, and I don't know what your experience is with church and the Holy Spirit, but I've oftentimes found that Christians, we don't know a whole lot about him. He's not the most upfront, in-our-face person. We talk about the Son, we talk about the Father, but the Spirit sometimes takes second fiddle, and it just can't be the case. And I want to talk tonight why that can't be the case. Why, in fact, as Christians, we need to make a big deal about the Holy Spirit. Not just the fact that he's the third person in the Trinity, not that it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's definitely one of the reasons. But we got to look at two other reasons tonight why I believe, and I think you will at the end of the night believe, that we need to make a big deal about the Holy Spirit. Reason number one, we have to make a big deal about the Holy Spirit, is that Jesus makes a big deal about the Holy Spirit. Reason number one that we make a big deal in the church, and the church global should make a big deal about the Holy Spirit, is because Jesus makes a big deal about the Holy Spirit. In fact, he was crystal clear on the coming and the presence of the Holy Spirit, and we need to be that crystal clear as well. Would you turn with me in Luke chapter 24 tonight? Tonight we want to see that Jesus makes a big deal of the Holy Spirit, so should we. And in fact, in Luke chapter 24, Jesus has risen from the dead. He's hanging out with his boys, his disciples, and he's going to give them this commissioning statement. He's going to tell them, listen, I'm back, and here's what you need to do. Listen to what he says in Luke 24, verse 44. Luke 24, verse 44. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Now catch this in verse 45. "Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures." Incredible moment, right? That all along they've kind of just said, "I don't understand. I'm following that. I don't understand." And sometimes they mess up. And at this moment, it says that that Jesus opens their minds so they could understand the scriptures. And I would say maybe even the idea of the fulfillment of the scriptures. That at this point, there's a revelation that comes to them that's like, "Oh, wow." Listen to what he says in 46. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Bible says he opened their minds. He gave them clarity to what they had been through and what they're going to go through and what their message would be about. Who Jesus is, I am central to this message, he would say. And then he's going to send them out. But interestingly enough, the clarity of mind that they had the message, but they weren't ready to go yet. He doesn't want them going out. He opens their mind to understand, but still at that point, they're still not ready to be sent. Listen to what he says later on, or just in the verses down from that. Jesus, I want you to see, makes a big deal of the Spirit. Look at verse 49. "I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Listen to what he says, stay. Someone else is coming. You have clarity of mind, you know what to say, and they're probably excited at this point because they've had this thing revealed to them, and now they can't wait to share with people what's about ready to happen and who Jesus truly is. And they're excited about it, but Jesus says, don't go anywhere, stay, because two things have to happen. Number one, you're going to receive what was fulfilled, the fulfillment of the promise from the Father, a fulfilled promise. Look what it says right there. You're going to receive from my Father what he has promised. And the second thing that you need before you go out is that you need the power from on high. You need the power from on high. Reason number one, Jesus says the Holy Spirit is important for two reasons. One is that he is the fulfillment of God's promise and that he is the power from on high. Let's look at what he says, what he means by the fulfillment of what God had promised. When Jesus says, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, when he comes to you, you will be clothed with power. What he's saying is, my Father thought of a time, prophesied through the Old Testament, that his Spirit would be poured out on his people. That the dawning of a new season would happen when God, the Father, Yahweh, pours out his Spirit onto his people. I'm telling you, boys, fellas, as you're standing around here and we're talking, this is about ready to happen. Now, here's what they would have saw. Here's what they would have thought of when it comes to that moment. Joel 2, 28. And afterward, right? This is back in the time of Joel when he's prophesying and God says, I want you to tell the people this. This is what he says. And afterward, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. So when Jesus says, listen, wait, because I'm about ready to pour something out upon you that was going to give you power, but also had been prophesied, been promised by my Father, their minds would have thought, wait a minute, there's something powerful coming. We know that. We've heard that before. We've heard that language before. Something being poured out onto us. Listen to what Ezekiel has to say. In Ezekiel 36, 26, I will give you a new heart and a new what? Spirit in you. I will remove from you the heart, your heart of stone, and give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my Spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors. You will be my people and I will be your God. What else are they thinking when Jesus says, listen, the thing that my Father promised you is coming. What are they thinking? Land. This land will then be ours. The promise is going to be poured out. New hearts, we're going to follow the Lord's decrees, and God is going to pour his Spirit, so this new land is going to be there. Oh, this is going to be good, dreadfully good, right? Then he says, Ezekiel 37, I will pour out my Spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it, declares the Lord. Look at what he says here in 39, 28. Then they will know that I am the Lord their God. For though I sent them into exile among the nations, I will gather them to their own land, not leaving any behind. I will no longer hide my face from them. I will pour out my Spirit on the people of Israel, declares the sovereign Lord. So Jesus says, hey, listen, don't go anywhere. I've opened your minds to understanding who I am and why I'm here. And you can be excited about that. But don't go anywhere because something else is coming. What God has promised is coming. And they probably think to themselves, I remember in our Old Testament passages when we were studying as little boys that God had promised the Spirit to come. And when that Spirit comes, there is a new season that hits this place. We get land. Right? Judgment is coming, maybe on those who aren't Jewish, maybe those who don't agree or understand who we are. This is the time. This is it. Turn with me. I want you to see this very clearly, what they are in fact thinking. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And Luke, right, who we just read from his book, also is the author of Acts. And so it's a continuation. Luke continues on into Acts. And Luke is going to record something powerful to us. Something that says, kind of gives us that great picture of where their hearts were at. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Here's what it says. While he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. Do you see that? Do you see what he's saying there? Do you see what he's saying? He says, listen, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father what? Promised. That their expectation is God has promised something, and he's going to bring that to fulfillment. And we're going to be a part of it. And we're excited because there's a new season coming. Man, this last season was hard. We saw Jesus die. Right? We went through turmoil and we were scared and afraid. And this new season that's coming, here he is. Jesus is with us, resurrected, unbelievable, miraculous. And now Jesus is saying the fulfillment of God's promise is coming. Which you, look at verse 4 still, which you have heard me speak about. Verse 5, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Listen to where their hearts were at. Look at verse 6. Then they gathered around him, that's the disciples, and asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Is this the moment? Is this the time? Because we remember from Joel and Ezekiel, and there's various other passages I didn't read to you. There's a ton of them that say there's a spirit that's going to be poured out. We're excited about this. This is the time. And surely Jesus, the resurrected king, the Messiah, who we now see and understand, this is that time that we will rule and we will reign. And listen to Jesus' response in verse 7. He said to them, it is not for you to know the time or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Listen, there is a new season coming, but it's not the season they expected. It's not like Jesus is going to take an army and take over Rome, and all of a sudden God's going to pour his spirit out and their hearts are all going to change. It's going to be hard work. There's going to be labor intensive. This is going to be difficult for these disciples. And they wouldn't rule and reign from a throne. But instead, God has a different kingdom in mind, an eternal kingdom. And this is going to take the gospel, Jesus Christ's truth. It's going to go to the ends of the earth. And it's going to reach millions and millions of people. And listen, God's kingdom, the one that's been promised, doesn't just go to Jews, but it goes to Gentiles like you and I. It extends beyond what their comprehension of the kingdom looked like. Because God's promise, his fulfilled promise, is through the pouring out of his Spirit. Also, I would just mention that the coming of the Spirit is a huge arrow that points to who Jesus is, right? That there's this new season, but it doesn't happen without Jesus. And in some way, Jesus is pointing to the coming of the Holy Spirit. He's kind of pointing forward. And when the Spirit comes, he'll point back to Jesus. Right? He'll glorify Jesus' name. He'll point people to say, worship and honor Jesus. So they're kind of like pointing to each other. It's kind of a cool back and forth that goes on. The reason why that we need to make a big deal about the Holy Spirit is that Jesus makes a huge, huge deal about the promise God had made through the pouring out of his Spirit. But listen, also Jesus makes a big deal about the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you see that before when he says, listen, the power is going to be there. It's going to come when he comes. And in fact, your head knowledge, your wisdom about who I am is not enough to get you out of Jerusalem, let alone into Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You're going to need so much more than just head knowledge. You're going to need spirit-powered knowledge. In fact, he would say, you need power from above. What you know about me is not enough. It's great. It's a good start, but you're going to need the power of the Spirit. And so I need you to stay in Jerusalem. Don't go anywhere until the power of the Spirit comes. In Luke 24:49, it just says, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. And then in Acts 1:5, he says, John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The power that Jesus says, listen, it's important that you understand who the Holy Spirit is because you need his power. The idea there is just full covering, right? When you've been clothed by something or you've been baptized, you go all the way fully submerged. Everything is covered. Every crevice, every part of you is covered. And so what he's saying here is, listen, before you go anywhere, you need to be covered in the power of the Holy Spirit and you need to recognize his power because there is power in him. Look at John chapter 16. Turn with me to John chapter 16. As we're talking about his power, I want you to see some of the power that Jesus acknowledges that the Spirit has. This is Jesus talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit. Look at John 16, verse 7. But verily, truly, I tell to you, it is for your good that I am going away, which always blows me away, right? That the Son of God, right, who they've seen do amazing things, not just feed 5,000. They've seen him do many, many things. And he's saying, listen, it's for your good that I'm going away. well, whatever must be next must be amazing, Jesus, because you're pretty cool. We like you. We like having you around, and we like to see the things that you do. You're pretty okay with us. And then he says, listen, it's for your advantage that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the helper or advocate will not come to you. In fact, it's good that I'm going, because you need the power of the Spirit that he will bring to you. But if I go, I will send him to you, speaking of the Holy Spirit. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. All because the power of the Spirit is coming. Catch that. It's good that I leave so the power of the Spirit can come. Look at verse 12. I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. So powerful, right? The Spirit speaking with the Son and the Father and relaying information to us. So critical. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. It is good that he goes so that he can come. It's an amazing, powerful statement that Jesus makes. I, your friend, your Savior, am going so that the Spirit can come for that reason. And when he comes, he will bring power. He will have the power to convict and reveal sin to mankind. So some of you felt that before, right? Some of you feel that today, right? That's the power of the Spirit. Let's not miss that, right? When we feel that conviction, or maybe when we were unbelievers, and we felt like, man, there's something about that Jesus. I need to get closer to him. The Spirit working on us. And he says, that's the power of the Holy Spirit. The power to reveal the truth. The power to guide us. The power to reveal Jesus to us. That's what Jesus says. That's why I'm sending the Holy Spirit. That's going to be his job. There's power in him. John 14:15. Look up on the thing. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate or helper to help you and be with you how long? Forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he what? Lives with you and will be in you. That's power. Jesus makes a big deal of the Holy Spirit, and I'm just saying, I think maybe we need to make a bigger deal of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, God the Father, God the Son, we need to keep elevating them, but somehow we got to work the Holy Spirit back into our equation again. Because what we're looking at here is, if Jesus is telling us the Holy Spirit is a big deal, he needs to be a big deal to us. And then look at Acts chapter 2. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. This is like the bonus passage here, because you've already done two, and now you're on your third passage that you're turning to, so you get a thumbs up if you get all the way to Acts chapter 2. It's impressive. It's impressive if you've gotten through all three of those. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Yeah. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together. Check out the power of the Spirit at work. Visible sign. They were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The Spirit of God came in a visible, real, tangible way that they could see and experience, and they began to speak in various tongues. And the power was present that day in a very real, tangible way that people could see and touch and feel. In fact, many were blown away, but didn't know how to describe it and what it was happening. Some people said, oh, they're just drunk, right? Because that's what it looked like to them. And yet God had fulfilled another promise that the Spirit would be poured out, and the Pentecost happens, and the church begins to blow up and explode and expand. Look at verse 14, chapter 2, verse 14. But Peter, taking the stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them. Now, this is the same Peter who hid away and was scared, frightened, denied Christ three times before the resurrection. But at the coming of the Spirit, Peter stood out, stood up, raised his voice, and declared. And what he declared was not some soft, nice gospel. He calls the people to task for the things that they had done to the Savior. He says, you sent him to the Romans and they crucified him, but it was all in God's plan. He doesn't just soft sell the gospel. He goes after it by the power of the Spirit that had been put upon him. And in verse 38, here's what he says. This is soft old Peter, right? Empowered by the Spirit. Verse 38, Acts 2, verse 38. Repent, each of you. Repent, each of you, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the what? Gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise, which promise? The promise of the coming of the Spirit, the promise that the Father says in Joel and Ezekiel, for the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. As many as the Lord our God will call to himself, the promise of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit is for you. The gospel, the good news, the infilling, the indwelling of the Spirit is for you. Look at the consequences. Verse 41, the proof is in the numbers. The Spirit added 3,000 souls that day. These people then continually devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread. Do you see what the power of the Spirit did? It wasn't just clever words or just knowledge about who Jesus was. It was this amazing, powerful moment that these people witnessed and saw and experienced and felt. And 3,000 people come to know Jesus. Probably had to completely give a complete 180 from where they had been. If you would have talked to them early that morning about who Jesus was, they would have said, I don't know. I don't know who that guy is. And Peter stands up and calls them to task. He says, repent, be baptized, receive the Spirit. And 3,000 are given to the Lord that day. We make a big deal about the Holy Spirit because Jesus, our Savior, made a big deal about the Holy Spirit. He is both the fulfillment of God's promise of a new season, the season I believe that we are in now, the season where at any moment the Lord could return, any moment Jesus could call us. We're in this season of amazing, incredible change. And so the kingdom that the Jews thought, man, this is, he's going to establish his kingdom here on earth. Right now, it's going to be maybe a military kingdom, but certainly a Spirit-led kingdom, but a God reigning on high. That hasn't fully taken place yet. And so we're waiting for that new season when God will reign, Jesus will reign. But we're living in a season where the Spirit has been poured out on us. And Jesus says, listen, in that season, there is great power for those who put their name with me. Those who come next to me and stand next to me and accept me and walk with me. There's power because of the Holy Spirit. And Christian, we need to catch that. We need to see that. And I think too often, I'll just talk about myself, too often he gets pushed behind and we talk about the Son and the Father, but we don't live daily with experiencing what he has to offer us and seeking after him and listening and being sensitive to his leading. So I'd say the first reason that we make a big deal is because Jesus makes a big deal. Second reason why we make a big deal, and this is much shorter, and this is where I'm going to close. The second reason we need to make a big deal about the Holy Spirit is because the Bible, God's Word, makes a huge deal about the Holy Spirit. It is not quiet on the Holy Spirit. It does not lack anything when it comes to the Holy Spirit and describing what he does and his purpose and who he is. In fact, I want you to see that. Can you all read that pretty well? That's just 50 things that the Bible talks about. I wanted to kind of give you that so you could see just the start. We're just scratching the surface of the power of the Spirit and who he is and what he does. And the point is that you can't read it. So if you're trying to read it, don't even try. But I will highlight some for you that I love. And I just want you to think about this for a moment. If this is true, if what we're saying is true, and Jesus made the big deal of the Holy Spirit, and the Bible, the thing that we go to and read and we allow it to affect our lives, and this is what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. Listen to some of these things. The Spirit leads us. The Spirit sanctifies us, moves us closer to who the Lord wants us to be and who he desires us to be. The Spirit does that. The Spirit empowers us. The Spirit bears witness in us that we are children of God. When we begin to question, I don't know if I am, the Spirit, he says, listen, you are. The Spirit produces in us fruit or evidence of his work and his presence. Listen, this is the Holy Spirit. And so when we start to question our faith, or we feel dull, or we feel like, I don't know where I'm at with the Lord right now, or maybe we just feel like blah in our Christian faith, then we need to call on his name, the Holy Spirit, and say, enliven us, empower us, move us. The Spirit washes and renews us. The Spirit brings unity and oneness to the body of Christ. When there's disunity, we need to call on his name. Holy Spirit, be present in this place. Holy Spirit, be present in our relationships. The Spirit seals us unto the day of redemption. I love that. The Bible's clear on that. He is a seal. His work, his actions, his indwelling in us is a seal until the day that the Lord returns. The Spirit reveals deep things of God to us. How many of you have been there before? Where you're just sitting there and you're reading the Word, or maybe you're just sitting there, not even reading the Word, and God just reveals something to you that you're like, I didn't know. I didn't ask for that. It just came. The Lord has revealed something to me about me, or to me about him. That's the Holy Spirit at work in you, in us. We need to write those things down. The Spirit speaks to, in, and through us. You have things to share to other people by the power of the Spirit. The Spirit transforms us into the image of Christ. The Spirit enables us to wait, to be patient. The Spirit strengthens our spirit when we are weak. The Spirit gives us joy. Hey, that's for us. When we start to be joyless, we need to be more joyful. Hey, I need to get away with the Lord. And Lord, what is causing me to be lacking in joy? Lord, pour your Spirit out inside of me. I want to experience this. What's causing it? Reveal that to me. And then give me the power, empower me to be joyful. The Spirit comforts us. So many powerful things that we see here. And let me just tell you this. If you've ever experienced any of those things, if you've ever experienced any of those things, his comfort, his joy, his revelation to you, then I would say you've experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. I think sometimes we think, oh, it's only through tongues. It's only through healings. It's only at afterglows when I get that sense that the Spirit's around and I just want to worship. Those are all things of the Spirit for sure. But let's not discount those times when you've felt the comfort in an uncomfortable situation, when you've been joyful when there should be no joy. That's the power of the Spirit at work in you. The Bible lists many different ways, and you could just go on Google and look up Holy Spirit, what does he do? And they'll give you that list that's up there. In closing, tonight, I think we just got to say to ourselves, okay, where in my conversation on a daily basis do I invite the Spirit to be a part of my life? Yes, I pray to Jesus. I pray to the Father, right? Two in one. There's a three in one, right? I need to also invite the Spirit to be a part of my life. And I need to recognize when he is and where he is. And that sometimes takes for us just getting outside of ourselves, getting away, and spending time with him. Allowing him to guide and lead and do all those things that the Bible and Jesus both say that he will do in us as Christians. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I pray this over us tonight, over myself tonight. We want to experience you. Lord, we want to not just be able to carry on a conversation about the Holy Spirit. I think we gained some traction there tonight, that we could do that maybe a little more free, a little better tonight because of what your word says and the instruction that you give us. But Lord, we also want to experience some of the amazing gifts that your Spirit brings to every believer as they put their hope and trust and faith in you. And I would pray tonight that maybe just some of these truths that came out, someone might say to themselves, I'm not experiencing any of those things. And I need to go back, either go back to you again, Lord, or I need to come to you for the first time. I need to surrender my life over to you, Lord Jesus, because there's some pretty powerful promises in here that I feel like I'm missing out on. And if that's you tonight, I would just ask that you would come and pray with one of our prayer warriors up here. They'd love to pray with you to receive Jesus and to walk with him. And probably give you a Bible to help you on your way on that. But tonight, Lord, I would ask that you would just instruct our hearts on how to take this into action this week. As we get alone in our quiet times, maybe just the asking of saying, I want to experience your comfort. I want to experience your joy. I know it's promised. I know it's there. So I'm going to wait for that, Lord. Allow me to see it. Allow me to sense it. Let me know that you're there. God, you are so good. And we thank you for this truth. Amen. I don't know what it is for you, where that place is, or what that position is for you when you just know that, hey, the Lord and I need to do some business together. But I want to encourage you sometime this week, get to that place, get into that position, whether it's on your knees and before the Lord, or maybe just in bed, before you get into bed tonight, you're just down before the Lord. Because if it's true that we desire his presence more than anything else, then we need to get into his presence, right? And we know that he's present everywhere, and he can always speak to us on driving to work or at work or wherever we go. He can be there, but there are times when we just need to get away and get into his presence. And so I want to encourage you this week at find that place. I believe that if you got to that place, he's going to come dwell with you. There's going to be something that he will reveal to you or speak to you or direct you in that maybe you've been waiting for a long time, but you just haven't stopped long enough to say, okay, Lord, I need to be in your presence. And maybe it's your morning walk or maybe it's whatever that looks like, but seek him out. Seek him out. And I believe through the power of the Spirit, he will direct you. He will guide you. He will give you joy and he will give you comfort. Amen? Amen. Have a good rest of your week.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.